Amen. Pray with me just a moment. Lord Jesus, I pray that you give us the knowledge of one word, certainty. You're a God that we can be confident in, and you're a God that we can be certain of. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. We've been looking at these characteristics of God, and today is one that begins to bring your life into God's activity. How many of you want to have your life centered in God's activity, in God's expression? You know, there's a lot of us that come to church. I understand, man. I'm glad you come to church. I want you to come to church because guess what? You got to hear it before you can get it going on. But there comes a point after you've heard it long enough, you got to decide to step into it and get it going on. Now there's kind of two choices. God is a God that will deliver. How many of y'all have seen that consistent in Scripture? God is in to keeping His promises. I find God to be trustworthy. Here's why. Three things I want you to know that He's trustworthy on. God created us. How many of y'all believe God created us? God put creation into existence. I think you got to believe that. Now, I'm going to leave it to some of you scientific folks to explain all the details. Here's what I know. God said, let there be light. There was. Bang, bing, boom, fusion, whatever, it was. See, science never has bothered me because to me, science is just explaining what God has already done. I haven't seen science create anything. I've seen it just explain what's already in motion. So there's always that philosophical question, who put it in motion? If there was a bang, who said boo? Okay, something had, i.e., God said, let there be light, and I saw it this morning. He's a God I can be certain of creation. Now, I'm certain that God made you. Look at your neighbor and say, God made me. God made me. How many of y'all certain God made you? And see, that's a beautiful thing. God made you. God made you. You see, I don't believe you made yourself. I don't believe your parents made you. I believe God made you. That's how beautiful this place is right now. God made everybody. None of us look exactly alike. None of us think exactly alike. But guess what? God made all of us. I'm certain of it. I don't think you evolved. I think you were made by God. Just kind of look at your neighbor one more time and say, I was made. Come on, I was made. Come on, tell them I'm made. Come on, y'all talk among yourselves. Especially all you young people. Y'all been wanting to talk in church all your life, and now the preacher lets you talk and you get quiet. What's up with that? Third thing, I am certain that Jesus wants to forgive you. Because guess what I'm certain of? You've messed up. How many of y'all have messed up and sinned? Anybody, let me ask it this way. Anybody here not sinned? Okay, just want to know if we was at the house. And if you got your hand up, you just sinned because you're a liar. So, I mean, we're all in the same boat. We need Jesus to do something great in our lives. We need Jesus to deliver us. Now watch. God's not different at all. Children of Israel, in Egypt, in slavery, in bondage, God hears their cries and mercies. Remember, He delivers them out of Egypt. They wander for 40 years in the desert. You say, well, why in the world do they have to wander 40 years? It takes about 40 years to get Egypt out of you. It takes a while to get out of you what you got into. How many of y'all found that? Watch this. How many of y'all understand this? You meet Jesus Christ, but it takes a while. It takes a while for your mind to embrace what's happened to you. You know, you'll know God. You got the potential of God, the promise of God, the effects of God, the possibilities of God, but your mind's still thinking Egypt. So guess what God did? He took them on a, if you will, a 40-year rehab experience. And He rehabbed Egypt out of their minds. Or so you would think. And then we come to this point, Romans 13, be certain of God. Young people, if you can get certain of God, I'll tell you this, even these old people here tell you this, the sooner you get certain of God, the better the quality of life you will have throughout your journey of life. The sooner you get, The sooner you let God get a hold of you, the less messed up you'll be. Make sense? There's no merit in this to say, I spent the first 50 years of my life trashing my life and the next 50 years recovering from what I trashed. Wouldn't it be better to say, I embraced God at an early moment of my life. I started doing what God told me to do, and I learned how to live in the promises that God has made. What's wrong with a life like that? God wants to bring us to the promises. I'll show you. Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. How many of y'all realize this? When God says it, it happens. How many of y'all found that to be true? No matter what anybody else says. Now, man, this lesson's going to kick today. So you better be ready to catch it. It's a driving lesson. Because here's the characteristic we're looking at. Certainty. And man, I might as well say, there you go. See, my brother's with me. From the mouth of babes, not the mind of adults. This is crazy. It's a crazy term in our culture because we're not certain about anything. We're relative about everything. And for me to stand up in the 21st century and to tell you one of the great characteristics that you need to embrace in faith is to be certain in a relativistic culture is crazy. But it's true. Watch this. How many of y'all found this? Things are the way they're going to be, really, no matter what you say. You go disobey God, you're going to live out those disobedient consequences no matter who says what. Now, we think this in America. If 51% of us will agree that it's okay now, that makes it okay. Have you noticed that? We want to vote on morality. We want to say, okay, God, this is now not an immoral thing because 51% of us humans have agreed this is not immoral. How many of y'all found that the immoral consequences still come out no matter what our vote? So that tells me God is more certain than I am. God is more certain than I am. Well, here comes God's possibilities at the children of Israel. 40 years roaming around in the desert. Moses sends the spies into the land. They stay there for 40 days. A day for every year that they wandered. Isn't that interesting? A day for every year of wandering, God gave them a day of promise to go explore. So they come back in 40 days. And guess what they said? What God said is so. Look at it. Verse 26. Look at it. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. And they said this. There they reported to them in the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. How many of y'all are glad to know that when God says it is so, it is so? How many of y'all realize that some of you all are God's fruit in here today? I didn't say you were a fruit. You're God's fruit. Make sense? Some of y'all are probably fruity too, but you're God's possibility. Amen? Look here. I mean, we are God's fruit. He said, look, here's the land I'm going to give you. The report came back. It's exactly what God said it would be. Wow! How many of y'all are glad to have a God that holds up on His Word? Man, now listen, let me get this with y'all. You can have certainty in God. I would question everything human. I'm not certain about myself at times. How many of y'all are certain about yourself? Come on, let's get real honest. Lord have mercy. Girls, y'all at Western, everything in science has been proven wrong that I learned it fact 25 years ago. Now, that doesn't bother me. Why? The best we humans can do is take a shot at it. Take a good educated guess. And we need to make educated guesses. But there's something beyond my reality. How many of you all just got a hunch? There's something beyond your reality. Anybody got a hunch? It'll even start with a hunch. Maybe I'm not the final word. Well, look, the spies come back and they say, it's just like God said. Now, how many of y'all realize this? God will do exactly what He says. How many of y'all realize this today? You a sinner. How many of y'all realize this? There's a hell. See, people don't want to talk about hell today. I know y'all have all been surrounded by all these preachers that want your $2. I'm not that cheap. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't want your $2. I want your tithe. And it's not I that want it. It's God that wants it. Because why? He wants to overflow and manifest His promise in your life. You say, well, why don't we see that? Maybe we don't step into it. I don't think God's got a problem. I know I do. How many of y'all got a problem? God doesn't have a problem. What's this? Did God create this mess or did we cause a mess? If God said you love money, you'd be cursed. How are we doing in this nation? Watch this. I just want to show you some things God said. God said on the Sabbath, rest. America said, work. We changed it. We went from a one-shift world to a three-shift world. On the Sabbath, it's just like any other day. God said, rest on the Sabbath. I grew up in my childhood when we rested in this culture on the Sabbath. Nothing was open on Sunday. Guess what? People weren't taking a handful of anxiety pills to cope in my world as a child. We didn't have like mental facilities for children. We had a radical idea. It was called a mother and a father. It's a radical way to raise children. The neighborhood. We didn't have to have neighborhood watch. We had this crazy thing called moms. And they were worse than any law officer official could ever dream of being. They were the internet before the internet was developed. They had websites at each house. And they would spy on you and tell other moms what you were doing. And when you came to their house, they would say, you're not going to do this here. And if you were a male, you learned very early in life, very early, like 5 years old, the power of a woman. So that when you got married and you knew you were going to sass back, you ran at the same time. You learned that at five. But I'm just telling you what God said. God said, rest. How many of y'all found when you didn't rest, your body fell apart? We're a crazy culture. Look at this. I mean, we're an insane culture. We spend the first part of our lives running 120 miles an hour. Think about this. Making as much as we can make. Destroying our whole health. To spend the second part of life spending everything we made to stay healthy. Ridiculous. What if we just kind of balance pace the deal? You know, work, play, worship, love, kind of balanced it. Guess what? How many of y'all have come to this fact? You can have a lot of money and be miserable. Amen. How many of y'all have learned that so far? Ayers didn't say that. Guess who said that? Jesus. He said, you got to decide what you're going to love. Are you going to love mammon? That's money. Are you going to love me? Now, here's the good news of God. He said, if you love me, that doesn't mean you're going to be poor. It means you're going to be balanced. I've loved money before, and every time that I've had, I have been out of balance. Imbalanced. What do we call a lot of our diagnosis? I have a chemical what? I wonder if a chemical imbalance comes from an imbalanced lifestyle. I don't know. It's a big argument in you know, which came first, the egg or the chicken. I know this. Can I walk in the promises of God when it comes time to step in? The report is God will do good things. Don't look like this. Don't get all like, hey, I've never been in this place that the Israelites have been in, because you have. It's called the moment of decision. How many of y'all have had a moment of decision? Grooms. Husbands. How many of you, when you got married, you were nervous as you could be? Come on up. Grooms. Any groom here not nervous on the day they got married? Did a wedding yesterday, and the groom, we were back there talking, he goes, ooh, man. All of a sudden, I'm kidding, man. He said, I was cool to right now. I said, you're in good shape. It happens to all of us. I said, it's tough to give your life away forever to a woman. I wanted to comfort him. You know, I wanted to give him comfort. He goes, what do you mean? I said, you're promising You're promising right now, in just a few moments at this altar, to give up a football game for a ballet dance. That's a tough deal. I said, and even you, look at you. I said, right now you're getting married while Kentucky is playing LSU. You're already making a sacrifice. I said, you should have delayed this wedding to after the game. He's ready to go. It's a promise. I mean, when I was getting married to Elizabeth, man, I looked up and I saw her mother. And I became very nervous to know that this promise meant I was promising distant things too. A promise. But you know what God said? When you follow what I've said, promises become realities. How many of y'all found that to be true? Well, look what happens. They come back. Did you see it in Scripture? God said it flowed with milk and honey. What did they come back with? Milk and honey. How many realize that God said this, He'd forgive you of your sins? So if you let Him forgive you of your sins, what would happen? Same thing. God hadn't changed. And then guess what happens? There's a big but that gets in the way of God's promises. How many of y'all have always had a problem with a big but in your life?
Amen.
Take that any way you want to. Connect that how you need to connect it. But I'm going to tell you, the church has a problem because the church, she's got a big but right now. Everything God said, we got a but to add to it. But God. But God, what about this? And what about that? And God doesn't have any conjunctions. Y'all remember that, don't you? On ABC, you know, Saturday morning, conjunction, junction. What's your function? Remember that? I'll tell you what those functions are in the kingdom of God. Interrupting God's promise in your life. Conjunctions interrupt God's promise in your life. It's not but, it's not and, it's not if, it's God said. That's where certainty comes from. But how many of y'all always want to get a big but? Well, I would be saved, but what would others think? What would my drinking buddies think? What would my business associates think if I got religion? Well, they'd probably think you's gross if you got religion. I'm not asking you to get religion, because that's about all you can do with religion is catch it. I'm asking you to allow Jesus Christ to love you to the point that your life would become the promises of God. Only Jesus can do that. First thing you got to do, are you convinced that Jesus can? How many of y'all see people's lives here in this church? You know they're changed. How many of y'all know you? I partied with them. I hung out with them. I've been with them. We didn't act like, but now they act like. How many of y'all have seen some people that act like Jesus now that didn't act like Jesus before? Boom, problem. That's all? Well, the rest of y'all not looking and you scared to raise your hand. I know some of y'all are previous Baptists. Y'all scared to raise your hand. You think you'll go Pentecostal as soon as you get halfway up. You'll be hanging off the ceiling lights. No! You ready? How many of y'all have seen people live a better life in Jesus? Anybody? Oh, okay. So the fruit's in. That's not the problem. It's will I believe it? Because look what they did here. Here comes the fruit of the land. Then, listen to this. Oh, man. We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. It's exactly what God said. Was, is. Then, but, here comes the big but. You can just see it, can't you? But, the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified. We even saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites, and the Jebusites, and the Hittites, and the Muscovites. I mean, they were all there. I mean, everything was there that will kill us. I have to compliment. You all saw this happen yesterday. You saw this story happen yesterday. You saw the impossible become possible yesterday. Yesterday, God was at work yesterday. Commonwealth Stadium. Who would have ever dreamed UK football. I mean, a few years ago, like last year, like the year before that, you couldn't even put those two words together. UK football. UK football. Top 10? There is a God. I mean, UK football was, you know, the blunt of jokes. Jokes like this. How do you keep a wildcat out of your front yard? Put a goalpost up. Remember those jokes? And now those jokes have gone up I-64 East and parked I-65 North and are sitting now in a place called Papa John's Stadium, where it looks like the blessing of God has left Louisville and moved eastward. Who would have thought UK would have beat LSU? Shouldn't have happened. Right? I mean, LSU was ranked what? I mean, who said they were number one? The polls. Now, hold on. How many of y'all listen to the polls? Yeah, you do. I can't do this because the polls say I can't. Lord have mercy. Last year, I remember last year's football season like it was yesterday. A very intelligent, God-anointed pastor on our staff, Dr. Jamie Ward, held his little stubby finger up every week, declaring that Ohio State was number one. For 14 weeks, we heard, projected number one. Then during the season, number one again, number one this week. And lo and behold, guess what's happened this week, most likely? Ohio State, guess what they're going to be? Number one again. Well, here's little Dr. Ward. Number one, number one, number one, number one, number one. But then it came time to enter into the promised land. And everybody knows if God's got to choose between Ohio and Florida, we got a God going south. Amen. We got a God when he looks down at football. I mean, look at the coaches. Bear Bryant, one of God's favorite coaches. SEC. God smiles on the coaches from the South. He knows that's where the real football's been played all these years. I mean, when God tunes in Heaven's Channel, he does not tune in to the Big 12 and the Big 10, the Pac-10. God said, I want to tune in to where they sing Just As I Am. And always going to be the South. And when Florida, watch, when Ohio, they even thought they were going to bring back some of the fruit of the land. They kicked the ball, they run it back. They look, here's the fruit. And Florida said, here's the fruit basket. Jamie came away from that game with no hands up in the air. You know, there comes a time of reality. You're going to do what God says? Get rid of the butt. The cities are large and they're fortified. UK could have listened to all that yesterday. The line is more powerful. The backs are faster. The receivers are better. They got two quarterbacks. You only got one quarterback. The fans are more committed. They could have had all that in their head, but they said, you know what? We're going to do what we think we can do, and we believe we can certainly win. And when you play like that, you'll win more than you lose. Amen? Yeah, I won them. I get to coach high school football, and it never fails. We play a very fortified team in this area, a team that goes to state championships, and they have these beautiful gold metallic helmets on. And it doesn't matter what kind of team we have. They put these helmets on, and they go out in pregame, and they go, and they project a belief that they should win. And I've seen very few of our teams that believed they shouldn't. It's a big part of it. But I'm asking you today, when God puts you on the promise, are you going to step in? Or are you going to look at what has been made? Or are you going to look at who made it? Which one are you going to do? Are you going to look at what has been made? Or are you going to look at what made it? God made the Amalekites. God made the cities fortified. God made it happen. You don't have to fear it if He says you can have it. But you do have to do this. You have to step in spite of everything else saying it won't work. You say, Pastor, how do you know this? That's the story of this church. So I'm not preaching today a story I haven't lived out in my life. People said that about Elizabeth and I. They said, they'll never make it. They can't live out their marriage. She can't live with him. She can't stay with him. Lord, have mercy. Heirs will be married 7 times. And if you looked at my personality, according to what the psychologists say, I should be married 7 times. But here's the problem. God made the psychologist. And God said, be committed to one woman no matter what. And I said, God, you're going to have to do that in my life. He said, no problem. You listen to me and do what I say and not what they say, and you'll be in what I want you to be in. Anybody hearing this today? Anybody hearing this today? College student, God says go to college. Why? Good. I don't know if you get smart, Tyler, but at least you get exposed. Amen? You go. What's your mission with Jesus Christ when you're in college? To make the best grades possible. That's college mission. In high school, when you're in high school, what are you supposed to do? Make the best grades possible. Don't limit opportunity doubting what God can do in your life. See, we don't have Christians like that. We get Christians who get sidetracked and they think, well, I'm supposed to do this and I'm supposed to bless the world and I'm supposed to go change the world. Dumb people don't change the world. Committed people change the world. I'm going to show you. Committed people will live in God's promise because committed people reflect God's image. How many of you realize that God's committed to forgiving you? So one of the ways that you worship Him is express what? Commitment. You know what I'm talking about here. This is tough stuff. How many of y'all have ever done what God said do? In our worship experience, what do you think is the toughest time on worship? What's the most difficult time for people in a worship service? Huh? Confessing sin. Sometimes that's difficult. What else? Telephones? No, that's it. Coming to the altar, that might be difficult because I've got to come to my reality. What do you think is the number one difficult place for people in worship in America? Huh? Tithing, the offering. You bring out an offering plate. Why? It's the promised land. Every time we pass an offering plate, you got to be confronted with what God said. What did God say? Tithe. Now, guess what? What do we do? Yeah, we go, well, now they say I don't need to do this. They say that's not a New Testament teaching. It's not. New Testament said 100%. That'll make the Old Testament real quick, won't it? Well, watch this. But see, we want to back away to what they say. Why? Because it confronts us with, will we be obedient to God? You know, Mike Stewart, I've been around this Jesus thing a long time. I have found it don't take any effort at all to jump up and down, wave your hands, go blah, 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 and lay at the altar. Let me tell you what takes effort. See if you can drop what you believe in and make God greater than what you really believe in. Whoa. That's called promised land. Because what's there attached to the movement of tithing? What's attached to that? Faith. What else? Sacrifice. What else? All this crazy stuff. What else? Obedience, trust, reality. Will God do what He says? Now, what does God say He will do to tithing folk? Floodgates. He said, I'm going to bring you a life that you can't even imagine. Did he not say the same thing to these promised land people? Now just think. You've been eating manna and quail for 40 years. Even though that comes from heaven, I'm sure it got boring. Manna and quail, manna and quail, manna and quail. Quail helper, manna helper. You know, I mean, this stuff gets old. And here comes the fruit of God's promise, and God says you can have it. And guess what? They say, God's for real, but we can't do it. God's not real enough. We know God's promised the land, but we're not sure God will promise the power. Except one guy. And I want to end here today. Caleb! Get this kind of mentality in your life. Caleb! You know what he said? We can certainly go and take possession of the land. We can do it. You know why? God said it. Now guess what you call that? Faith. Now here's what I want you to know today. You don't have faith till you do it. We can sit around all these groups, Shane, we have, and we can pray and talk, and we can have discussion, we can have biblical study, and we can have some more groups, but we don't have faith until we do it. Do it! So, Pastor Ayers, it's going to hurt. Yeah, it's going to hurt. It hurts to go to war. You get bruises and bumps and spears and stitches, but guess what else you get? The land! Let me help you with marriage. It hurts sometimes. Isn't that true, Elizabeth? Now, I know your marriage has always been bliss without any problems whatsoever. But I'm talking about other marriages. Huh? Yeah. How many of y'all believe that? Don't. Elizabeth, one time, she goes, she had this lady when we were younger. She came up and she goes, this girl came up to Elizabeth and goes, oh, what is it like to be married to the pastor? Elizabeth's response, nothing like you think it is. See, Elizabeth knows before the pastor was a pastor, he was a linebacker. And he was very intense, and he's very demanding, and he was very, very just, got to have it right now. And that causes bad things in marriage when you become demanding instead of loving. See what I'm talking about? But you can do it. Why? Because God said you could. You get this Caleb mentality. He said, we're going to go take the land. He silenced the people. And I wanted to hit on that today. Decision time. How many of y'all need to silence some people in your life and listen to what God has said? Amen? Silence people. It's not what they say, it's what God said. Not all of y'all agree with that. I like it when you clap honestly. I like it when you clap honestly. Most people don't agree with that. We wouldn't live in the world we live in today if you believed what I preach today. But I'm going to challenge you. I think we've developed a land of sissies. Most men I meet today are a bunch of sissies and cowards. They back off at any moment of pressure. I got men walking around in my culture today wondering how they feel. God help us. Don't read those books. Those are girls' books. Let them read it. Your wife ought to. Now, you need to know how your wife feels. But you need to have a vision, because guess what you've called to do sometimes? We can certainly do it. And she's going to go, but honey, we're going. But what about this and what about that? We're going. Come on, tell me as we go. And you go, that's called leadership. But now we got, oh gosh, I'm going to be scared too. Let's all be scared together. Hold on. Make sure you go with what God has said. Ladies, I apologize that you've had to be very strong for us in this generation. It's a shame that a lot of you have to raise your kids by yourself because your man didn't have enough character to stay put. Man, I'm telling you, I'm serious about this. You can get mad at me all you want to. You can wince. And the only reason you're mad is you know I'm right. But I had a guy come to me. He said, Pastor Ayers, I get mad every time you talk about sissies. I said, quit being one. and you won't get mad anymore. That means have some fortitude. Now watch. Here's what I'm talking about. Don't back off from what God said just because it hurts. You've got to hear this because it's keeping you out of the promised land. Because here's what you don't believe. You think God will let you in no matter what. He didn't let them in. They died in the desert. See, John Paul, we want this, you know, Puff the Magic Dragon God that takes a hit and loves everybody no matter what. Well, God does. He even loves you when you're dying in the desert. But what I want you to know, there's a difference when you're living in the promise and dying in the desert. God's in both locations, but you have a better quality of life in the promise than you do in the desert. But you got to step there. And here's what you got to do to step there. Just believe He'll do it. Now, guess what? We're coming to a promise moment time. How many of y'all realize that Jesus has promised to forgive you? People ask me all the time, how do you know you're saved? I said, Jesus said I was. Some of y'all going, well, I don't act saved. Well, I don't know what acting saved is. I know you got to be saved. And I know until you're saved, you'll never act better. Amen? Amen. Now, here's what you got to do. How many of y'all realize you're a sinner? How many of y'all get real about that? You have sinned. That means you broke one of the Ten Commandments. How many of y'all broke at least one Ten Commandment? Come on, be honest. If you broke one, the Bible says you broke them what? Oh. So what do you need to be? Forgiven. How many realize a lot of people don't even know why they're getting saved? They'll tell me, they'll say, Pastor Steve, I got saved so I could join the Mount Creek Baptist Church somewhere. Do you think in God's reality He cares about the Mount Creek Baptist Church somewhere? He cares that you know Him personally. He died to save you personally and to bring you into a promised reality. He hadn't changed at all. So today you've got to say, God, I know I've sinned, and I know You can forgive. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that. So I ask You to come into my life, forgive me of my what? Now, think about this. Does that not transform us into a new reality? True or false? Here's our reality. When we die, we're going where? Y'all know? Okay, three of you know. Anybody, more of you know, you just want to be silent. Come on, you can talk in church here. What's the ultimate destination? We sure aren't just going to sit here and listen to God just because we've got to put in time on a Sunday. There's a point to this whole journey. After we live in our lives, we end up in the promise of God, which is heaven. Now, that's real. Let me tell you something else that's real. Nobody believes this anymore, but it's still real. Hell. I know it's not popular. My colleagues will even call me up and say, I can't believe you talk about hell in your church. They go, people get offended and leave? I said, they've left long before I get to the hell part. And they go, so you're okay with people just getting up and leaving? Yeah. I'm going to tell you the truth. How you respond between you and God, that's got nothing to do with me. Here's the truth. There is a hell. Now listen to the truth. And God doesn't want you there. To me, that's a beautiful truth. But this won't keep you out of hell. It doesn't exist. 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 Let me tell you something else I learned. Eventually, you have to change waist sizes if you're going to continue to eat Twinkies. I remember I wore my pants and I had to like suck in my gut. And guess what I wouldn't face? The reality of 36. But I wanted to pretend in my mind nothing was happening. But guess what my clothes were telling me? Things are changing. And why are they changing? Because I was unwilling to change my diet. So if I'm unwilling to believe that God really does what He says He's going to do, then I'm going to live the consequences of an unbelieving situation, which is a desert. Or I can step into God's certainties and begin to live out His promises. Is everybody clear on that? So guess what, university students? Oh, young people of great contemplation. Is God for real or is He not? This was the constant question of my whole university experience. I didn't buy God for a while. I met His people. And they never do what they say they're going to do. They say they're going to love you, but then you mess up and they don't. But then I got some great news. It's not what they say that counts. It is what He, God, has said that matters. Can you embrace that? He will certainly do it. Amen? Well, let's stand together. Wow. Preach a sermon on the promised land, and guess what we've just done? Walk to the edge. Watch this. Same feeling right now at this altar is the same feeling there was when the spies gave the report. Is God for real or is He not for real? How many of y'all need to come right now and say, God, forgive me of my sin. I believe You're real. You'll forgive me. I want to be forgiven. Ask Jesus to come in your life, forgive you of your sin. Tell Him you believe He died and He's risen and you want Him in your life. I bet He'll do it. What do you think? I know He will. How many of y'all need to come today and just pray this? Lord, 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 help me be certain of what You've said, even though I can't feel it or think about it. Help me be certain of it. How many of you right now, as we pray, are going to expect some people to get saved? We saw 408 people in Costa Rica get saved. You know why that happened, Billy? You know why it happened? We expected it to. We went out our whole week. That was our single purpose. Watch this. There's a lot of people here today, and I'm excited about that. But guess what? This place would be overflowing. Overflowing. If you absolutely were convinced that this was the last week we were going to live. How much would your priorities change if this is the last... I mean, next Saturday, we're not going to have a ball game. We're leaving for heaven at 12 noon. What would be... Well, I bet the fourth service would be totally full tonight. If I could absolutely guarantee that. Why? How many of y'all got some friends you want to go to heaven? Well, some of y'all brought them here today. So, friend, I want to give you a good word. You have an opportunity to meet Jesus right now. You say, well, you're putting pressure on me. You daggum right, I'm putting pressure on you. Welcome to big boy and big girl world. You got to make a decision. He's either real or He's not real. I either believe heaven is a reality. This is popular today. I don't believe there's a hell, so thus I don't need a Jesus. For your sake, I hope you're right. But if I was you, I'd be smart, and just in case you're not, I'd say, wait a minute, if I can believe there's not a hell, I bet I can believe there's a literal Jesus who died on the cross and who has risen from the grave and who will forgive me of my sin. That opportunity's here today. Come and ask Christ in your life. Maybe you need to get baptized. God said do it. I certainly would. Maybe you need to look at your wife or your husband and say, you know what, I apologize for the way we've been living our lives because we hadn't been living them like God said we could. And I'm sorry. And so I want to repent and let's get healed. Amen? Maybe you need to say, God, I've been just in my mind, I've been listening to what everybody said about this drug addiction. Maybe I need to listen to what You've said about it, that I don't have to continue on, that I can resist and the devil will flee. Maybe I need to hear that, God. You said that. I want to hear that. And so just let God reshape your life today. Amen. In the name of Jesus, enter in. Come be blessed. Let God touch you and love you. This altar's open. It's open for people to be saved and healed and baptized and touched and convinced. So right now, as you come, may the Lord touch you. Come on, church. The altar's open. Come be baptized. Come be saved. Come be made anew. Come be blessed in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.